Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hi, Aurora. Welcome to the Returnix podcast.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
So happy to have you here. We've been talking before the show and laughing about the different things. So I am so excited to have you. You were supposed to come last year, but we just, long story short, had a terrible year.
Yes.
Puberty, cancers, a lot of things. And Aurora was very gracious to be like, don't worry about it. You're going to be okay. So I am excited to talk to you about Honey and Heat and all the things. And talked about both books, because let's talk about the book from last year and talk about this year. So let's talk about them.
Good idea. So. More to love.
Yes. So first things first, tell us a little bit about yourself. You're in Canada and all the fun stuff.
Yeah. So hi, everyone. My name is Aurora. Yeah, I'm in Canada, specifically Alberta, which some people call the Texas of Canada. And I am not on board with that. Yeah, I've been writing since about 2017. I have two books to my name, or I will soon enough, with Sunshine and Spice being my debut novel, and then Honey and Heat, which comes out this fall. And I'm just, you know, a lover of reading books, romance. Now Laura, she's hilarious. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you here. And thank you for indulging me in some of my theories are coming soon to you all. Because I have a lot of thoughts. I have a lot of thoughts about the state of the book community in the Lord year 2025.
Oh, so. I love it. It's like hot take city. It's awesome.
Yeah. So let's talk about your debut, Sunshine and Spice. Like, what is it all about and why should readers pick it up? And then they have a new book coming out afterwards. So they have two books.
Yeah. So Sunshine and Spice came out in 2020. In September, and it follows the story of Naomi, who's a brand consultant. She's struggling. She's new to the community she lives in, which happens to be a smallish tourist town in Canada. And she gets the opportunity of a lifetime to rebrand a failing store for this Bengali family, which is near and dear to my heart because I too am Bengali. And the unfortunate side of this is that Naomi herself is Bengali, but she comes from a little bit of family drama where she doesn't know her culture, doesn't know her ancestors. She doesn't feel equipped to take on this new job. And so in true romance fashion, she strikes up a fake dating deal with the son of the woman who owns the business. And his name is Dave. And he needs some help because his mom has matchmaking plans for him. So in exchange, she says she'll pose as his fake girlfriend to drive away potential brides. And he's going to teach her what she needs to know to impress his mother and run a successful rebrand of his family's business.
I love this. I love the fact there's like, you're kind of like working together. And you're not supposed to get any feelings, but you know it's a romance and the feelings are going to happen. And you're denying that. That's the beauty of an author, is denying those feelings from happening. Yeah. And you're like, oh no, we are going to make you suffer a little bit.
Right.
And we're going to make you be like, holy shit. I felt so.
Yes. I think the greatest feeling as a romance author is, you know, when someone tells you, like, I squealed when I read this part, or when they weren't getting together, or when they finally did get together. It's just, yes, I did my job.
Yes. Well, now we got Honey and Heat. We got Ice Princess. We got someone who is not supposed to and is like trying to figure out if she's going to fall in love with this. But it turns out that it's a rival.
Yes.
So talk to me about Honey and Heat and what can we readers expect?
Yeah. So Honey and Heat is a standalone novel, but it does feature some characters from Sunshine and Spice. And the lead of Honey and Heat is Cynthia Kumar. She was also in my debut novel, kind of as a character foil. But this novel is all about her and this drive she has to be the successor to her father's business empire. And she's been working towards this her entire life and thinks she's got it in the bag. And then her dad hires this guy named Rohit Patel, who she may have unknowingly spent a night with shortly before he starts, and now he's her competition. As romance decrees, they had to have some sorted past. And now they're in competition for the job. And when the business falls under public scrutiny, they work together to kind of fix its tarnished reputation. Sorry, and you know what happens. They're going to fall for each other.
Sure. Right. It's like you had me on. We had a previous encounter, a one night. And then you're like, oh, it's happening. It's either going to be super baby or they're actually going to have a chance and you're not supposed to have it. It's like, and there's a magic to that formula because you're like, I'm not supposed to have feelings, but I know how good it was that I'm like, I need to have this, but I'm not supposed to.
And speaking of like how good it was, I will say Honey and Heat feels hotter than Sunshine and Spice in terms of like how soon things happen and how
even
how spicy. Yeah. And you can thank my editor for that one. She was very like, keep going, push it more. I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Let's add a chili pepper here.
It is okay.
Yeah. Awesome. So what led you to start writing romance? I know you were a romance reader. You actually read some of my favorite modest rippers and historical romances, which we'll talk about a little bit more. But what led you to start writing romance? Because it sounds simple. And when you started writing before it was cool in some ways. I call it, as I was sharing with you, before 2020, romance was kind of like the stepchild that people didn't want to talk about. It was performing really well. But it was not as mainstream as it is now, which it has come its own stuff, but it's definitely, so you're before the 2020 era.
Yeah, I mean, romance is so underestimated. And even before I started writing, I did not know. It's not just a love story. You have to have really fleshed out like character arcs, emotional arcs, external plots. Like, it's a million things coming together at once. And now that I'm doing it and understand it more, it's like the greatest, most satisfying challenge. But when I started, I'm drawn to love stories. Like, I love the meet cute. I love those moments when you're reading a book, whether it's romance or not, but if there is some squishy scenes and your heart just like clenches in your chest, I love that feeling. And when my imagination thinks of stories or meet cutes or potential characters, there's always this romance love story element in there. So it's just something I naturally gravitated to when I decided to start writing.
I love this. And what's been your favorite part of writing a romance? Is it the actual like getting to figure out the meet cute story, or is it just the characters coming in and like actually the competing external or internal conflicts? So it's just going to drive them to the story. What's your favorite part of the formula, as they say?
I love writing meet cutes. I think when I think of stories, they always start with a meet cute and then the characters and the plot grow from there. But I don't know, there's something about romance too. Like, you become so drawn to characters. Some of those characters live in your brain long after you're done the book. And part of writing is discovering those characters, owning them, and kind of creating a little space in your heart for them. So it's kind of a mix of that. I love learning about my characters. I don't have them fully fleshed out when I start writing. And the meet cute, I love to make them like as awkward and cringy as possible.
Yeah, to make them suffer. I want it for myself, but my characters could have that experience.
Right. I hope this never happens to me.
Yes, that's like famous last word. And then it'll just happen. And you're like, oh my gosh, really? I wrote the story.
You know what, though? I don't know about you. I am one of those people. I just invite awkwardness into my life.
Yes.
Something weird, embarrassing, like mortifying has to happen at least once a week. So maybe I'm just writing what I know.
Yes, and it is okay. And you know what? It's relatable and it's just fun. And in this day and age where, you know, it's dating is cringy and it doesn't look good. It's kind of like nice to be like, you know what? I escaped to the books where it's actually acceptable to be awkward, cringe, and it can actually have a happily ever after. And the nice, sweetie golden retriever or black cat or whatever kind of man or woman or non-binary person you want to go for, it's just there. The possibilities are endless.
Yeah. If you find a friend or romantic partner that you can get over the cringe with, keep them.
Yes. All right. So we got to talk about your recommendations, which are actually, it's very timely because a lot of the book industry has moved away from this kind of recommendations, but they're the OG. They're the reason why we have romance, the reason why we have this. And we'll talk about one of them that actually, we got a couple of them. They're OG that I'm like, they're must read. If you're going to read Roz, you kind of have to get over yourself and read some historical romances. So talk to us about your history with historical romances. How did you end up falling into the genre? Because everyone has their own story of how they fall into the genre.
Yeah, I mean, I remember I was too scared. Like, I discovered romance in high school. And as you mentioned before, romance had a stigma behind it. So I was too afraid to go to the romance section in the library because I don't know, I don't want the adults to see me in there where I probably shouldn't be. But in a used bookstore, I don't know, I think I just stumbled into the section, and contemporary romance wasn't a huge thing back then. Often you'd find contemporary more in fiction than in the romance. It was all pirates and knights and Scottish things and stuff.
Well, Scotland. I don't know about you, but Scotland seems to be having its moment.
And I have to ask, because just to everyone listening, Laura, I have learned, knows things. She knows things. So I just ask you, because you mentioned, like, historical romance is kind of having its fallout right now, which is so sad. And now that I think about it, like, why do you think that's happening? Because Bridgerton
is a big book. Book talk is not listening. Oh. Book talk is not reading. They did not discover. So a lot of the 2020, what happened is a book talk rediscovered fantasy, which is paranormal, and they rebrand as romanticy. They discover contemporary dark romances. They discover because of Kindle Limited. So a lot of the historical romances are not a Kindle Limited. Mm-hmm. They're not in the way to consume them in the same way where there's like a free, easy to consume. A lot of them are in libraries or maybe old publishing books. But they also have the stigma of history. And I think in some ways, like, the stigma that we have right now, whereas we don't want to look back at our past, and yet we're reliving our past. And so I think there's a stigma of what does it mean to be history, or the things that happen are, there's dubious consent, there's non-consent, there's a lot of rape may have happened in these kind of romances, but they were a period of their time and they were part of what it is. And it's just like part of it. There's also publishers are not putting money on it because they're not performing as well as the others place us. But there's also, like, authors rewriting the content. Let's talk about Lisa Kleypas, who has been rewriting her old great historical romances to meet 2020 sensibilities or, like, things that were okay in the 2000s. Bridgerton is another example. Yeah. There's that are not acceptable right now, but they're part of it. And so I think they were banking on Bridgerton to bring the genre, but it did not. And I think the weight of Bridgerton was great for that 2020 year because there was a lot of historical romance. People were buying lots. I remember it to 2020. People were buying lots of historical romance on eBay. Like, you pay $20, you get a bunch of historical romances, and there were sharing setbacks and stuff like that. But Bridgerton was not coming every year, unlike Summer Turn Pretty, whereas every year, clockwork, we have another episode. This is taking 2 years. It's taking too long that people forget about it. And so they're just like, it just didn't, I'm hoping that cycles are happening because everything's cyclical and it'll come back.
Yeah.
I don't think Bridgerton is going to be the one that's going to bring it back, but I think it might be like something else, like Book Talk discovers going on eBay and paying $20 for a lot of books. Same goes for Carlica, the category romance. I think Book Talk did not realize their category existed and they thought they were AI. And it is a whole genre. And it's like a long history, and there's a specific way to write those category romances.
Yes.
It's a whole world there.
And I will just add, if Shonda Rhimes, or if anyone in the Bridgerton production universe is listening, you need to hurry up. We want more seasons faster.
I hate to say this, but Kim Kardashian, people need to get too good to work. I hate to say this because she's MAGA and she's a terrible person. And this is a very terrible thing to say, but it seems there's get to work.
We need this kind of content. I am glad that we're getting fed with Roman's content. I'm glad that Netflix is meeting us our need. And some of the content is dubious because they're selling rom-coms. People die as rom-coms, but it's a better sign. So I think there's a market there, but I hope that it just comes back. I think maybe in like 5 years, we'll get back to discovering buying bodice rippers and learning about Joanna Lindsay and Julie Garwood and Lord Chase and all these authors that are actually writing.
Yeah. Historical romance is where it's at. It's pretty lining and tension. Like, it's beautifully done. It's amazing.
And if you want dark stuff, there's
a lot of dark stuff. No.
If you like dark romance captive, there's plenty of that in that space.
There's even lots of kink in historical romance. It really does have everything. So let's bring it back, people.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about recommendations, because I love all of them and I am so happy. And some of them have been guests. I'll share which one I need to just get them to become a guest, but most of them have been guests to the show. So
So did you want me to list them?
Let's have a Sherry Thomas first. I think that you have a Sherry Thomas, which is, I wish she writes Lady Sherlock and they're delightful historical mysteries, but her historical romances are so
I'm a fan of so many authors and I'm inspired by so many, but she might be one of the best writers for me. I can't get enough. And once she responded to a comment I made on a photo of hers on Instagram, and I thought, this is it for me. This is all I need. But so I recommended Ravishing the Heiress by Sherry Thomas. It's hard to pick just one, but it's like emo level pining. It is so wonderful. And when things finally start to happen for those two main characters, it's like explosive and raw and just amazing. Have you read it?
I have. I actually, this series is so good. Like, it's just the whole series. It's not just that book. It's like the whole series just gets you. There's one in the boat. There's one, this one. There's one, the one with the, where she's, they got married and they just came back to each other and stuff. It's the whole series. It's what I'm talking about. It is a must read. And I wish she reads, if she writes more historical romances, but I understand her mysteries are just as delightful. Mm-hmm. Lady Sherlock's is like such a delightful series to watch. A better gender bending than the Sherlock Holmes series. So,
yes, agreed. So definitely she's one of my favorites. And you have to read that book. All of them. You're right. The series is incredible. I also recommended Lord of Scoundrels by Loretta Chase, which I feel is not super, it's not new news. Everyone loves that book. That book is lore.
That book talk has not discovered Lord Scandal. So we need to talk about this.
Oh, man.
Because I think that everyone knows that. But I have to say, they have not discovered the magic.
The kiss scene in that novel, the meet cute, like it's all just like amazing scenes. And Loretta Chase, she can write paragraphs about a woman's wrist that you want to go on forever. She's incredible.
Yes. And the enemies to lover, the tension, because there's tension here. It is a masterpiece. If you're a romance reader, if you think you're a knowledgeable, like you kind of have to read this. This is a required text. Like it is just as required as reading Sebastian St. Vincent in Lisa Kleypas' world, or Derek Craven, Lisa Sleepless World, or Bridgerton and Julia Quinn's World. Like, Lawrence Scoundrels is that text that needs to become a series.
Yeah.
And needs to find its audience.
So good. And I think it's an old one, right? Like, I think that book came out in the 80s?
In the 90s,
okay, 90s, that's not too bad. But yeah, definitely. It's like lore. You got to read it. I also have a few contemporary-ish historical romances. They're newer. I have The Duke Heist by Erica Ridley, which is, it's kind of has that, you're taking historical romance and doing something very different with it. It has this ensemble cast of characters that's like this found family. And it's nice to read books that have such a strong cast, and they are still in the progress of getting all their books out. But they just, it's just a warm, funny, friendly type of book. And one of my favorite to reread, actually, as well. Yeah, I'm assuming you've read that. I feel like you've read everything.
I don't think I read this one for Erica Ridley, but I read some of her. And I love her series. Like, it's just like a fun, it's like fun take of historical romances in this 2020s era.
Yes.
Like, there's a different level of writing. It's not as bodice rippers and that we had in the past. But I think it's like, it gives you like a sense of, if you want the 2020 sensibilities, Erica Ridley. Great place to get started.
And I think it's obviously, as a woman of color, that there are now, but if you're going back years and looking at those bodice rippers, there's nothing.
All white.
It's
all colonizers. And obviously it's dark because they were doing things that you're not supposed to.
So books like Erica Ridley's are just a little more accessible. And that's not to say I'm still reading a lot of the Sherry Thomas universes. I love Sherry Thomas, I think, is a woman of color as well, but also the Loretta Chase, all those amazing authors. But there's something very accessible about taking the historical romance in setting and bending it a little bit to make it feel a bit more contemporary. And then on that note, I also have Wicked and the Wallflower by Sarah McLean, which I think Devin in that series is one of my favorite all-time male leads. He's wonderful. Just that like hard exterior, cinnamon roll interior. I love it.
Yes, I actually love this series. This was like a fun series to read from Sarah McLean. Like, it was just like a really fun sensibility. There's fuck the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. There's like them and stuff like that in this world. And then at the same time, heroes are just like Sunni, but they're still kind of like rough around the edges, and I think that's what helps you.
Yes.
You know.
And then finally, this is where I discovered romance. I discovered the genre and historical romance probably at an age where I shouldn't have, but Julie Garwood, it's hard to pick. I've read, I think, her entire backlist as far as historical goes, but I recommend Ransom, which is kind of a second novel, and it's a standalone, but it's in a little mini series, and it's the second one, and I just thought it was really well done. It's an interesting kind of adventurous, there's a little bit of mystery in there too, and it's just it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I was sharing with you, and I'll air this episode after this episode, I'll air the interview with Julie Garwood. Julie Garwood passed away, but before she passed away, she was in the podcast. I love the fact that she ended up writing romantic suspense with that many generations later of this, the Buchanans and the other people. Like, I had this world that I actually had historical people and then coming back. And then this contemporary world, like, you know, like, I am from the Mayflower. It's like really coming down. But I had an interesting interview with, I did not lead the interview. I just let her talk. And it was fascinating to hear her, how she got started, how The Bride came to be. And it's a fun story that she was just sitting daydreaming and I had this idea. And I am so grateful to have that opportunity and to have that to share with you guys, because a lot of times we think about writing in that era was not acceptable. If romance was a stepchild in the 2020s or 2010s, it was not acceptable to be writing about sex and stuff. World where you were only supposed to be a nurse, a teacher, or a secretary, or a mother. You know, she was a pioneer, just like Loretta Chase. There were pioneers in this genre, and not just for the historical romance, but in the romance space and building the genre to what it is now.
Yeah.
Where it's so popular that we got romance bookstores, we got romance things, romance that, everything's romance, you know.
I know. It's actually, like, romance is like a way of life now. It's hard to believe that years ago, women were probably hiding those books even. And the covers now, a lot of the covers you see in the romance genre, like, they don't give away necessarily that it's a romance. But those Clinch covers, for example, like, it was a different era. And I'm blown away that you had Julie Garwood on your podcast just because.
Published. Berkeley.
Okay. Cool.
Your publisher kept publishing her books, and Berkeley was so gracious. And they were like, she's just going to call. There's no video. They're just like, I think she picked up the phone and just did the call. Mm-hmm. I know the audio is probably terrible, but you know what? It's still good. We did not question that. And they were so gracious. The publicist was like, yeah, she can come. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, because Rabbi, seems like she's in that era of like untouchable writers almost where,
yeah,
you know, then sadly she's passed away now and you had her on podcast.
I did. It was like the best way to describe it because I've done this 500 times at this point. And I'm not exaggerating. It's just that's how the volume of the author movies. And so many authors, I feel like it's just like conversation where I'm like trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. But with her, I just was like, no, it's just like talking to my grandma. And that's how I envision and just letting her talk about her experience and just understanding that it's a different age and different time. And it's just as powerful. And I think now, and I didn't get it in time, but now that I'm thinking about where I am in the U.S., in Florida, and the era that we're living, it's very telling what she shares and like how is it reflecting in this world now?
Yeah,
what we're seeing and stuff. And so, yeah, it's interesting. But yes, your publisher Berkeley was gracious enough. They did everything. They did the magic. So
yeah, I mean it's actually. I mean, I don't know if you intend it this way, but it was actually really kind of you to her listeners, but also smart to like just let her talk because she's an author from a time when she wasn't on social media. She wasn't easily accessible. We didn't know, well, I personally didn't know anything about her personality, really. So, yeah, I can't wait to listen to that podcast.
So I'll post the interview the next day. The interview is available behind it, but I'll post a re-edited version. I'll upgrade the audio and then clean it up a little bit. But it'll have that interview. And then I think I'm going to try to reach out to Laura Chase because she's still alive to see if she can come with Mello and have her. And maybe Aurora, do you want to come and talk to her?
I will. I can sit there and stare and talk gibberish. But I will.
It's Wendy Rush. We just have to hold space. It's actually great. Yeah. So I'll put that in the vision board that maybe Laura Chase can come and talk to us to that. But Aurora, tell us where you can find you online. And yeah. And the book is available this week. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm most active on Instagram. So if you want to find me, it's at Aurora Pellet. And I also have a website, aurorapellet.com. I'm horrible at updating it. So please don't expect anything there. Yeah, but I'm very accessible online. So if you do end up reading Honey and Heat or Sunshine and Spice, drop me a note. Let me know what you thought.
Awesome. And if you have historical romance recommendations, probably...
Yes,
fly to her parents and like, hey, this is another bodice ripper you should look for.
Yes, please.
Awesome. Thank you, Aurora, for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider rate, review, or subscribe. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great day. Bye. Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships. To learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.